Hi everyone, my name is Brian Rocha, and I'm from Boston, Massachusetts. I serve on the full-time team there at this university, UMass. It's called University of Massachusetts in Boston, Massachusetts. I'm originally from, I was born in Long Beach, California, so out in the West Coast. That's where my parents met the church life. They were brought in the church life there, and actually, the way my dad was brought in. So it's good to know, if you don't know already, ask your parents. If your parents, how they came into the church life, it's good to know because it's part of your inheritance.
Right.
It's part of your story. So it's good to know your parents' story.
Right.
So my dad was brought into the church life by two young brothers. They were 19 years old at the time. And my dad was in his 30s. And he was in the laundromat. And at that time, he was born Catholic, and his co-worker gave him a Bible at his job, and at that time he did not read his Bible, so he put it up in his closet. But then a few months later, he was going to the laundromat to wash, I wasn't born yet, but to wash my older siblings their clothes, and he sees the Bible there, and he grabs the Bible, and he takes it to the laundromat with him. And then the first verse that he opens up to is Mark 16:16. And he didn't know what it meant. It says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned." And so he was confused. He did not know, because growing up in Catholicism, he was baptized as a child, as an infant. And so he did not have the capacity to believe as a little baby. But now he's reading this verse. It says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." And as he's reading this verse, two young brothers, 19 years old, they approach him. And they were preaching the gospel. They approach him, and he looks at one, and he looks at the other, and he realizes they're twins. They were twin brothers, and they speak to him about the Lord Jesus. And then my dad tells them and asks them, "Please explain this verse to me." And they explained it. And immediately my dad said, "Okay, I believe and I want to be baptized. Baptize me in that sink." Because he saw the sink. But these two young brothers were frightened. They didn't know what to do. They actually did not expect this response. And so they're like, no. And he's like, "Okay, if you don't want to do it in the sink, baptize me in the pool." And I said, no. And they said, "We'll take you to a home." Anyways, they brought him to a home, and there he was baptized. Amen. And a few months later, my mom, because we immediately opened up our home for saints to come and sing. And my mom, she would stay in the room, but she would hear, guess what she would hear? The singing. And so when she would hear the singing, she was touched by the words and the songs. And eventually she came out. And then she got saved through the song, through the hymns. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
So singing is very important.
Amen.
"I'm so happy in this lovely place, in the garden growing in his grace." No finer. "There is no finer pleasure than to eat the living tree and to get the living water into me." So I was born in Long Beach, and then 6 months later, I decided to move. No, my parents, I was 6 months old, I had an older brother, and I have an older sister, and we moved to Orlando, Florida. And we took a Greyhound bus. It took like 3 days to get there. And my parents sold everything, all they had, and they had like about four suitcases, and got on the Greyhound bus, and we went to Florida. And that's where I grew up. I grew up in the church life in Orlando, Florida. Praise the Lord. And so as I was driving here to Camp Penuel, I was just reminded of all the years that I also went to Summer School of Truth. In Florida, we had actually three a year. So we had a Summer School of Truth for a week long. And then we had a School of Truth, which were just weekends, two weekends. Mm-hmm. And it was very enjoyable. And I could just remember all those times I was with the brothers, enjoying the Lord, getting into the Word. I covered this book, The Church. You know, you cover it once, but then you have to cover it again and again to get it in you. But I just remember all those years. I went from sixth grade or seventh grade all the way to my senior year in high school. And
You know, I think I could say this. You know, I never win prizes. I didn't even know it at the time, but at the end of my senior year, the brothers, you know, they were giving out prizes for all those who have completed the summer school of truth and all those who never missed. And the brothers were like, okay, there's a brother here who has never missed a summer school of truth. And I'm just sitting there, and they're like, Brian Rocha. And so I stand up, and I'm like, wow. And they gave me a little plaque and gave me a prize. So it's very encouraging to the saints and even to yourself. That, wow, all these years, you know, I've received seeds of life into my being. And later on, who knows, the Lord will use all those little seeds that have been implanted throughout all the years to speak to your friends and speak to your relatives and all those around you. And so it's not a small thing to be here at the Summer School of Truth. Right. It's not a small thing to enjoy the Lord together. Amen. And so today, we're on this matter of the body of Christ, the building up of the body of Christ. And, you know, growing up in the church life, the body of Christ was always something I heard about, but I never really experienced the body of Christ. But I would say in little bits of pieces, I did experience little things here and there. And so one thing I can say is with the body of Christ, it's universal. And so you can be in the body where you're at, wherever, if you're in New York City, if you're in Boston, and you can experience the saints there. But something that's very precious that I hold very precious to in my heart is that we have the opportunity as well to know many brothers and sisters across the whole globe. Yeah, yeah. And so when I was younger, we would open up our home to give hospitality to those who would come and visit us. And so this was when I was about 14 years old. I remember about 30 Russian-speaking saints from Russia came to Orlando to visit us. And they went to, you know, Disney World, you know, all these parks, you know, but they were with us in our homes. They went to the supermarket with us, you know, these very tall Russian saints wearing still their coats. This is in Florida. They're wearing their coats, very straight, you know, their posture is very proper. And they're just walking in the stores. Everyone's looking at them like, whoa, who are these people? But it was awesome to see these saints come from Russia and visit us and spend some time with us. And so at the end of the time, one of the older sisters wanted to take me with her. Because she was so sad that she was leaving, and because she was leaving all the saints in Florida, in Orlando, and I was a young one, and she was about in her 80s, and she was very touched that I gave her my room and my slippers, and so in the church life, you know, the church life, I was in my group the other day, and the body of Christ, like we have seen, is one of the statuses of the church, and it's also a family life, and we're in the household. We're with the folks, right? And so in the body of Christ, we're with members of the body, but we're also with our family. And so I was just sharing with the brothers, a lot of times I'm with the saints a lot more than I'm with my own family, meaning my cousins, my aunts and uncles. I don't really see them that often, but I'm with the saints all the time. And so the saints have become my family. And so we're here in the church life, in the body of Christ, and we're with our family members. But we're with all those who believe in the Lord Jesus. And so I just want to draw something here that maybe you guys have seen before. Maybe you haven't. But it's really good to know this because this is what we believe in. And also this is what makes us, at the end, you'll see, it's what makes us members of the body of Christ. Okay? And so I'm going to draw this here. So if you know the song, Incarnation, Human Living, Crucifixion, Resurrection. Okay. Amen. Yeah, see? It's in you. It's in you. So this I like to call, this is our life pulse. It looks like, you know, when, hopefully you never get the experience, but when you're in the hospital and it's, you know, like, doo, 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 you know, you're alive. You're alive. So this up here is God. So we have one God. Hallelujah. We have one God and Father, right? And so this is straight from the Bible, and we know this is all scripture is God-breathed, and so we love the Bible, right? And we love getting into the Bible. And so our God is one, right? He's one, but he's also three. So he's the triune God. And so we have one God, but then also we have the Father, Son, and Spirit. And so he's triune, yet one. It's mysterious, but real. Then we have here Jesus. Hallelujah for Jesus, right? In the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. Amen. Then we have his human living, and then we have his crucifixion. And I want to spend some time here. And this is from John 17. And in John 17, so the Lord lived his human life here. You know, God became a man, lived a human life. And right at the end of his life, he was going to the cross. And you have in Matthew chapter 26 and also in John 19, the Lord going to the cross. And it gives us a really vivid account, even in Isaiah in the Old Testament, of what's happening when the Lord is going to the cross. And, you know, he was beaten, he was spat on, he was smacked in the face, he was mocked, he was ridiculed. But guess what? The Lord did not say anything. It says in Isaiah, he was like a lamb being led to the slaughter. And he was silent. He was very meek and humble. And this shows his obedience to the Father, right? Because he knew, there's his oneness here. He knew that this was the Father's will. That even at the end, he said, this is what he said, "If it is possible, let this cup be passed from me." He said, "Let this cup pass from me." But then he said, "Not that I will, but your will." And so he was so one with the Father that he wanted the Father's will to be done. And so this is why he went to the cross. And in John 17, at the very end, you know, usually at the end of somebody's life, they usually like to part with something, to say something to their family or ones who they care for. They would say something that's on their heart, right? Deep in their heart. And guess what was on the Lord's heart? He said that they may be one, even as we are one. And so oneness was on the Lord's heart. So when he was on the cross, he wanted all the believers to be one, even as he is one. Because again, he is one God, but he is the triune God. He is oneness itself. One of his highest attributes is oneness. And so this is him on the cross, and he said that they may be one even as we are one. And not only one just in, just one in itself, like, oh, unity. This is not unity. This is something very deep. And so in John 17, you have one in his name. We have the name of the Lord Jesus. We have the name of the Father. And his name implies his life. And so we all have the Father's life. And so if you're a believer, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
If you have his life, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
We have his life. And so we're one in his life. But guess what? We're also one in his word.
Amen.
We have the word of God.
Amen.
Like that song that we like to sing, "I have treasured your word. Your words are spirit and life." It's like, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out from the mouth of God." And so we're one in his word. And when we come to the word of God, we get saturated. We get permeated with the triune God. And then also we're one in glory. And guess what? We get to express our Father. We get to express him. And so just like all of us, we express our parents. You express your father, right, Matt? Your father's back there. A lot of times, if I look at Matt, I see Brother Xingwu, right? I see them because he's his son. And same with me. A lot of people say, "Oh, you're just like your dad." I'm like, "Oh, really? Okay." But we express our father because we have his life and we have the word. And we have the opportunity to express his glory. And so John 17 is, yes, it's on oneness, but it's on glorification. And glorification is the beauty of what happened to the Lord Jesus on the cross when he died, because he was resurrected. Amen. And in his resurrection, he became the life. Let's all say it together. Life-giving spirit. He became the life-giving spirit and then ascended to enter into us. And this is how we're one with all the believers, because we have the Spirit. Isn't that awesome? We have the Spirit within our spirit, and we're one with the triune God. And so I'd just like to also give a few more examples. One is that when we are one with the triune God, we're also one with one another. And so one example is this. I was thinking about Peter. And Peter, in the Gospels, he fails a lot, right? He's just like us, constantly failing, you know. But he was very bold in his reactions, very bold in what, in his pursuit to the Lord. Even he was bold enough to say, "No, Lord, I'll never deny you." And yet he denies the Lord 3 times, right? And so he was very bold, but he was aggressive, but he was always failing. But then in Acts chapter 3, there's a change in him. There's a change. All of a sudden, he's no longer acting so independently by himself, but he's acting in oneness with the other believers. And so if we go to Acts, I'll read Acts chapter 3. And if I can get two brothers here, I like this example. It's very, very awesome. How about you two brothers come up here? And so I'm going to read a few verses to you. This is Acts chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Now Peter," so this is Peter, and this is John. It says, "Now Peter and John were going up into the temple at the 9th hour, and a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried there, whom they had laid day by day at the door of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those entering into the temple." So there's a lame man, he was asking for money. And he, seeing Peter and John, remember, Peter was always acting independently, but now Peter and John are about to go into the temple, begin to ask to receive alms. And Peter, gazing at him, so let's pretend there's someone, a lame man. Peter, gazing at him, said, you read this verse.
Gazing at him with John, said, "Look at us."
Okay, Peter and John are right here, and he's saying, Peter gazes at him and says, "Look at us."
Amen.
Amen. Let's all say that. Look at us. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Look at us." And like Brother Ken likes to do, "Look at us." Us, right? So Peter's not only one. Okay, brother, that's good. Peter's not only one with the triune God, but he's also one with John. And in the oneness, there's impact. And Gustavo will get into that later of the gospel, but in our oneness, there's impact. When we're one with one another, there's impact in what we do and what we say. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We can say, "Look at us."
Amen.
Look at us. Okay. In this room here, we have a lot of ceiling lights in the ceiling. And when you turn them off, they're individual lights, right? But what links all these lights together is when you turn on the switch. When you turn on the switch, all these lights, the same electricity starts to flow in all of them. Isn't that awesome? The same electricity starts to flow. And so these lights become one with one another, but not also one with one another, but also one with the source, with the power plant. Isn't that awesome? And so we, as believers, when we turn on the switch is our spirit. And in our spirit, right? The life-giving spirit is in our spirit. We turn it on, and guess what? We're one. I'm one with Luis, but also I'm one with the Father, with the Son, and with the Spirit. In Ephesians 4, it says that we are one with the Father, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one. So we're one with the triune God. And so when we receive the Lord Jesus, we not only receive Jesus, We receive the Spirit and receive God. We receive the triune God, the big TG.
Amen.
Hallelujah for the TG.
Amen.
And he's in us. And so that's what we have in Ephesians chapter 4. But then later, it talks about now, it points it to us, to our daily life. And so at the end of chapter 4, yes, we can be one with God, but then also we have to be one, like I mentioned, with one another. And one way to be one with one another is to not make fun of one another. I know it's very, sometimes very hard for some of us. I include myself in that. It's very easy to, you know, to talk about someone, like we're right here and there's maybe a brother in our group or in our cabin, maybe he's a little weird or you think he's weird, and you're like, and you start talking to another brother, that brother there, I don't know about him, or that sister, I don't know, she's kind of weird, you know, kind of does weird things. And immediately what happens there, gossip, start to talk about things, and it starts to go around, rumors start to spread. And then what ends up happening, the oneness is broken.
Right.
You can no longer be one. Because later on, what's going to happen is that you might be placed on a team together.
Yes.
Or you might be placed in the same church.
Right.
Maybe you both move to, I don't know, Kenya. And you're out there in Kenya together.
Yeah.
And it's that brother who you joked about, you know, you maybe called him a few names with some other, or there's a sister there, and it's difficult to coordinate or, let's say, fellowship or talk to one another about the Lord because you start to remember all those years that you made fun of him. And so, Lord Jesus, Lord, let's keep the oneness.
Amen.
Let's keep the oneness in the body that even in our daily life, in small interactions with one another, we can keep the oneness. And also in the future, that the oneness may be preserved so that we may not lose it. Lord Jesus. So that's in Ephesians 4. Let me read that verse so that we have a better impression. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. It says, "Therefore, having put off the lie, speak truth." Speak truth, each one with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your indignation. And so if we have maybe offended someone, maybe hurt someone's feeling, before the sun goes down, we should repent and confess this to the Lord so that this, so that it can be, the sin can be wiped away. All right, 27. Neither give place to the devil. He who steals should not steal no more, but rather should labor, working with his own hands in that which is respectable, that he may have something to share with him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for building up. Let's all say that together. Building up.
Building up.
Good for building up according to the need, that it may give grace to those who hear. And so we're here to give grace to one another. And grace is simply, again, it's simply our God. It's God the Father in the Son as a Spirit flowing into us. And so if we want to be grace givers, we need to be those who are constantly under the dispensing, enjoying the Lord Jesus as our supply, so that when we see one another, it's just grace, brother. And when we remember, when we see a brother in the future, wherever we've moved to, another state, another city, it's just a lot of experiences of gaining grace. A lot of experiences of gaining Christ together. Isn't that awesome?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's sing that song again. I'm so happy in this lovely place, in the garden growing in his grace. There is no finer pleasure than to eat that living tree and to get the living water into me. Amen. I think I'm finished here. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Our God is one.
Amen.
Man, he is one. From the very beginning, just to reiterate, no, actually, first I'll say my name's Gustavo. I serve with Brian, also from Boston, so not too far. And I'll get into a little bit of my testimony also, very, very short, brief testimony, and then some examples, some practical examples of what the Lord is after and how he's carrying this out.
Amen.
But I was just impressed. Were y'all impressed that God is one?
Amen.
Even from the very beginning of time, before eternity, before anything happened, he was one.
Amen.
This is the highest attribute of God, is his oneness.
Amen.
And oneness, or him being one, is who he is,
yeah.
Right? But that's not what he's after. And this is the second part of our outline, and it's on increase. The Lord wants to increase.
Amen.
Let's all say that. Increase.
Increase.
Yes, this is what he's burdened for. Actually, I'll write this down. Okay. So this is what he's after. He wants to increase. He wants to be enlarged. He wants to spread. He wants an expression. So this is what's on his heart, and I've just been really impressed as I was preparing for this to see that he really, really desires this. And I think we all have heard this, we all kind of know this, but maybe we haven't been touched with the fact that this is why we're here. This is why we were created. This is why we were saved. This is why the universe exists, is for him to be enlarged and increased. Actually, every point on here is for his increase, right? So, maybe I can get three brothers come up here. Come here. Maybe y'all can just lock arms and stand with your backs to each other. Look at this. Here. This is the triune God, right? So what do you want?
Increase.
Yes. What do you want?
Increase.
Yes. What do you want?
Increase.
Increase. This is what they want. This is what's on their heart. This is all they say. Say it again.
Increase.
Increase, right? This is why we're here. And so, Lord Jesus, the three made a plan, right? And they sent one. So one of you stay, and two of you go. All right, you're the Lord. Here came the Lord, right? And he came to reach all of us because this is what's on his heart. He wants us, he wants to be enlarged, and he wants to increase. And actually, there's a wonderful picture in the Bible in John chapter 15, and it is a picture of a vine, right? And y'all are familiar with this picture, right? But I need more brothers. Come up here, more brothers. So here's the Lord, and now we have, come over here, and you can put one arm here. Okay, we got a branch, and eventually we get another branch. How about another two brothers? Another branch, and another branch. And so now look at the Lord, smiling. Look how happy he is. This is so much better. This is what he's after. But unfortunately, we have been in a society, in our culture, in a time where we're very distracted. We kind of forget the reason that we're here and what the Lord is really after. Actually, we're all here running a race. We're pursuing a race, and we're running a race together. If you think about it, I was thinking about horses. You know, when horses, when they run a race, I don't know if you've noticed, they have those things on their eyes, right? They're blinders. And the reason they have these is so they won't get distracted because they have their eyes set to the side. So they're kind of animals that would get hunted, so they need a lot of peripheral vision, right? But with this picture of the vine, see how the vine's stretching out? Eventually, the purpose is the vine would bear fruit, right? All of these would bear fruit. So we need to... We need to believe that this is our destiny. We need to believe that this is what we have. When these blinders come on, right, this is our faith believing. And we just want to bear fruit. Say bear fruit.
Bear fruit.
Yes. What is your destiny?
Bear fruit.
Yes. Why do you exist?
Bear fruit.
Hallelujah. What are you going to do?
Bear fruit.
Yes.
Okay, thanks, brothers.
This is what the Lord wants. This is what he's after. This is what he's hungry for. And this will kind of lead into a little bit of my testimony, is that you might not realize it, but this is what you want. This is exactly what you are longing for. Actually, without us bearing fruit, we are not satisfied.
Amen.
And so I was raised in Texas, and I actually touched the Lord, I received the Lord when I was 13. And it was actually in a camp just like this. It was a summer camp for a week long. And I went and I heard about the Lord. And actually, I heard that he knows every single hair on her head. And I was like, no way. But I was impressed with this. And I started to get captivated by how much the Lord has an interest in us. And so I received him. I opened my heart and received him. But that was it. No one took care of me. And I didn't know very much after that. And so I kind of just went back to school, back to playing sports, living my life. And it wasn't until I got to college that I started searching again. Now, why was I searching? I was already saved. I knew I was saved. I knew I couldn't lose my salvation. But there was something in me that was still missing, that I was still longing and searching for. So I started to search for some other believers. And actually, what I was missing, what I was longing for, was this matter of bearing fruit, was this matter of increase. We can't help it. Just like Brian was saying, he's just like his dad. We are just like our Father, our God, and it's just in us, right? The Lord, that brother here who is the Lord, that life just transfers all the way through the vine. And the vine is such a wonderful picture because that vine is not going to bear different things, right? You don't see a watermelon vine that produces oranges and tomatoes, right? That would be strange. It just produces the same fruit. Same with us. When we gain somebody, we're actually imparting Christ into them, and we're bringing them into Christ. So we're enlarging Christ. Have you ever thought about that? When somebody receives the Lord, you're enlarging Christ. That's pretty incredible. That's pretty amazing that we can do that. So that was my first experience of going out and actually myself preaching the gospel was in college also. And I remember I went out with some other college students, and they said, we're going to do this. And I was just like, okay, sure, I've never done this, whatever. So we went out on the campus, we're walking around, and the brother with me was like, well, what about that student over there? So I said, okay. So I go up to him, and I've never done this before, and I was asking him a lot of questions beforehand. I was like, you know, what about this or that? And, you know, you really can't give all the answers to going on the gospel. You just tell me, just go ahead and try. So I went up to the student, and I opened my mouth, and it just started flowing out, and it just coming out. And you know what? I felt so much joy. I felt so much joy. I had never felt this. It was at the beginning of summer. I ended up not seeing him again, but I will never forget that day. I will never forget that experience because this life is in me, and life wants to flow, and life wants to grow. And all of us have this in us, and maybe we're not fully satisfied with where we are right now, and that's just because we need to practice flowing this life out. This is just as simple as appreciating the Lord, right? And we can all just practice. Even in your cabins tonight, we can all practice telling each other one thing, just one thing we appreciate about the Lord.
Amen.
And you'll see that you have many things in you that you appreciate about the Lord. And then this that's all it is when you go in the gospel, is you just share one little thing, right? I know we all have many friends that we're burdened for, maybe some family members that we're burdened for. We just need to get in the habit of practicing to share one little thing with each other. So that was my first experience, and I loved it, and I'll never forget that. And I have a couple other experiences I wanted to share. You know, going back to the matter that that in this age, in this time, we're not used to being on the gospel. We're not used to having our friends speak the gospel to us, right? It's just the signs of the times, right? It's just the way the age is. I started to realize this, and I started to realize that I don't even know if my best friends are saved. Isn't that terrible? I didn't even know if they were saved because it's just we just grew up never speaking about that. So I didn't grow up in the church life. So maybe this is not common for y'all, but coming into the church life in college, at that point, it was just common to not speak about it. So I decided one day that I'm going to find out and I'm going to tell them about the Lord. So I had like 7 really, really good friends, 7 best friends growing up. So we went out to get some hot wings, and I started to tell him. I asked him first. I asked him, "Are you saved?" And he said he wasn't sure. Right? This is just an indication of where your peers might be. They might not even know. They might think they were because they grew up in a Christian home, but they might not even know. So he said he didn't know. We started speaking about it. I told him about the Lord, and I felt so good again, right? I didn't know how he was going to react. So this was my best friend for like maybe 8 years. That was the last time we spoke. He was not my friend after that, just because he was clear that I was going in a different direction. But you know what? I was so happy. I didn't care. It's just, it satisfies what's inside of us. And sometimes we're afraid that we might lose something, right? We might even lose a friend. But it is so worth it because this is what we were made for. This is why we exist. I'll give another example. This time I was in another, very similar to this, I was in another country and we were going out on the gospel. And I never felt so useful and so purposeful in my entire life. I mean, this table here is made to hold things up. It's made to put things on here. What if we walked in and this table was nailed to the wall? Okay, and maybe those clocks were over here too with no batteries, right? Maybe you could call it art. Maybe the chairs were nailed to the walls too. And we have nowhere to sit, but it's artsy, maybe, I don't know. But it's not normal, it's not what it was made for. We are made to receive this life and to flow it out. And so as we were walking around this city, I just had this sense that, wow, this is exactly what I was made for. It was one of the best times of my life. Another example, I was in another country, I was in Brazil, and a brother wanted to go visit somebody that he was burdened for, and he asked me to go with him. So I was like, sure. So we drove, we got in our cars, and we drove out to the country to visit this family. And we walk in, and we meet this brother, and this Brazilian believer loved Western movies, like old Western movies. So he was really excited when he found out that I was from Texas, and he. And he had a bunch of questions to ask me about the Western movies and how is that exactly how Texas is like. And in this visit, I didn't have much to say. One, because I didn't speak Portuguese, so it was hard for me to communicate. But also because I'd never met him before. I didn't know the situation. So the other brother that I went with did most of the talking. But again, it just felt so good. I was just so fulfilled that I could be a part of this. Saints, brothers and sisters, this is in us. This is in us to go and visit people, right? This is what the Lord did, right? He was just constantly going from home to home to home, just like he went and he was going around with the disciples to their homes, right? This same life is in us to go out to homes, even to go door knocking. Have y'all ever been door knocking? I don't know what you think about that, but it's my favorite thing to do. I can give you one quick example about that. The very first time I went door knocking, I remember we went to a house, and this woman opened the door, and we said, "Hi, we're just here giving away free Bibles." And she says, "I'm a Christian. I don't need your Bible." And she slammed the door. And I was just so happy. Again, there's just something inside us that gets satisfied, that gets filled, that gets completed by carrying out what's on the Lord's heart. It doesn't matter if who you speak to gets saved. It doesn't matter if it comes out all wrong. You allow the Lord to flow in you and to flow out. And this is what he's really after, an increase. So we just have to believe. We have to believe that every single one of us will bear much fruit, right? Do you believe that? You have to stand against whatever you've known, whatever you've seen, whatever you've thought, and just know that it's in you to go out and speak. A very practical example that just happened recently, this last year in Boston, on Thursday nights, we have a dinner, and we have students come over, and we enjoy the Lord together and do some singing. And last semester in the fall, we started with 4 students. And by the end of the spring, we had 11 students. And here's the best part, that not one of the 4, of the original 4, not one of them invited all of them. Does that make sense? Every single one of them invited somebody. So it's just, it would be again, that picture of the vine here, it'd be so weird if all of them were bearing fruit and one wasn't, right? It's abnormal. And you just have to believe that you're all going to bear fruit. It's just a matter of when. And we should all just thank the Lord. Lord, thank you that I can bear fruit. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that I can be a part of your increase. Amen. This is what the Lord desires. This is what he's after. And he actually cannot accomplish this without us. This is the means and the way that he desired. And this is the way he designed it. Strange, right? I don't know if I would have done it that way, but this is the way he wants to do it. He loves to work through us. And then I have another example. It's actually me and Brian went out on the gospel one time on a different campus, and it was freezing. It was freezing. It was snowing. It wasn't snowing when we got there. So we drove about an hour, and then when we got there, we went out to the campus all excited, and there weren't really very many people out. And then it started snowing, and it started snowing hard. But we were already there. We already made the trip. So we were just like, we're going to just trust the Lord. We're going to trust the Lord. We're going to enjoy the Lord. And we just started trying to speak to people, and we noticed that all these people were going just to one building, right? And so we went over and stood by that one building, and they were going in for a seminar. And man, we were just, I don't even know, we were just screaming, enjoying the Lord, handing out tracts, and we were telling them, "Yes, this is it. This is it. You came to the right place." And they're like, "Oh, this is you're part of the seminar." I'm like, "No, but this tract is for you." And it actually, we had to at some point be that energized to keep us from freezing because we were out there for a while. Anyways, we ended up meeting a sister. And she ended up receiving the Lord, and she's still meeting with us, and she's going on and growing. So we just have to forget any kind of obstacles, any kind of concepts, and just know that this life is in us, and it wants to go out. Another point regarding our speaking the gospel is that we need to be bold, right? We need to be bold. And know that this is a commission. Amen. This is a commission from the Lord himself, right? Maybe the Lord gave us free will. He gave us free will, so it's up to us to decide we want to receive him. But once we have received him, once that life is in us now, we belong to him. He is our king. He is our God. And as we see here, he has ascended to the highest place. So this commission is coming from ascension, from the throne. And we need to be bold when we lead others to receive the Lord, when we speak to others about the Lord. You know, if your friend was hanging from a vine off a cliff or something, you would not hesitate to tell them, "Hey, that's not good. Like, step away from there," right? If they wanted to play with something dangerous, you wouldn't. If you care about somebody, you'd say something. In the same manner, we all need Christ, and they may not know it, but we know it. because we're attached to the vine, and we just need to have the assertion to speak with boldness. Y'all know in Matthew, when John the Baptist was telling the people about the Lord, he was saying, repent and believe, right? So he was telling them in a very definite way. He wasn't asking them if they would like to, but he was doing it in a bold way because that was his commission. That was his portion to prepare a people. In the same way, we all have a commission from the Lord to speak with that kind of boldness, with that kind of authority to our friends, to our family. I know there's a couple of people that I still feel, you know, they're older, and I feel like I don't have the authority to speak to them in such a way, but I'm wrong. That's not true. I do have the authority because we have, this commission comes from Christ himself. Yes. Lord. Isn't that good?
Amen.
We all get to speak to somebody we know. Maybe because we're not going to have this group time later today, we can take a few minutes Okay.
Yeah, most of you I don't know. I'm Ken Walker. I serve in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I guess what comes to mind when he was sharing about the gospel, I was just, I can't help but remember when I was in college. That was a long time ago, but some have heard the story, but basically I'm here because of one person on the campus said something to me. I was in a tennis class with a guy, and I just got through beating him in tennis, and we're walking back to class. I somehow remember that. I did beat him. And I thought he was a little bit awkward, you know. I was just proud, let's just say it. But anyway, we were going to class, and we got to a point where I'm going this way, and he's going that way. And then he stopped me. He said, hey, can I share something I enjoy? And I didn't know he was a Christian, and he just shared something with me for about 1 minute that he enjoyed from the book of Ephesians. And it was when he shared that, it was shocking to me. First of all, I'd never had anybody stop me and share their enjoyment of Christ. I've heard of ones, you know, I've seen ones on the corner screaming and hollering at people. Maybe that's Gustavo, I don't know, but anyway. Bold. But I just had never had anybody come up to me and share Christ as their enjoyment. That just like, what is that? And I don't even remember what he said. So don't worry about that. What I did, I went away and I said, who is this guy? How did he have the boldness to talk to me, to share something that he enjoyed in the Bible? I've never seen a Christian do that in their daily life. That was amazing to me. But you know what? That changed my whole life. I wouldn't be here if that brother hadn't shared for 1 minute from his enjoyment of Ephesians. You know what touched me? I realized, man, he's absolute for the Lord. And I was a Christian, and I had just had a turn to the Lord, and I was starting to pursue the Lord, but I didn't know where the Lord was. I didn't know where to meet, where to go. But listen, he had something that I wanted. He had boldness, like you mentioned. He wasn't afraid to share a little bit of Christ. Isn't that interesting? It's not that much. It was just a little bit. Shouldn't that be encouraged to all of us? Tell your neighbor a little bit. Just share a little bit out of your enjoyment. If you enjoyed the Lord in the morning and you enjoyed one little verse, it may be that all you need to do is tell somebody in your class, hey, can I share something I enjoyed in the Bible this morning? What are they going to say? No. They'll probably say, they'll probably want to know just out of curiosity, what is he going to say? Yeah. Or she's going to say, listen, that little bit is an infusion. It's a seed sown into them. And it works in them. It's powerful. It's powerful. It comes out of someone out of your boldness that's not normal. It's not human. Anyway, eventually that brother, I would go back and think, how did he have that boldness to speak? And there's something about absoluteness that makes a big difference. If you're a mamby-pamby Christian and you're just weak and you're not bold, you're just like everybody else. They look at you like you're just like anybody else. But listen, we need to let the light shine.
Amen.
Let the light shine in the darkness with just a little something you enjoyed. Zach, what do you think? Can you do that? Just a little bit with somebody this next year? I'm going to check with you a year from now. Next time. I'd like for us all to have a little bit of experience sharing Christ with someone.
Yeah.
That changed my life. That little bit. You don't know what happened. I can't go through all the story that followed. But next thing you know, I'll tell you one thing what I did. I made the mistake, in a sense. I got him to work with me. I had a job in the evening at a bank, and so I got him to work with me because we had an open position. So who did I go to ask to work with me? That strange guy that shared Christ. Next thing you know, he's at work with me. Now what is he doing? Christ, Christ, grace, grace. A little bit of the word here, a little bit of the word. I mean, even we'd go off to dinner somewhere, and even we're walking to a restaurant, and he's, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. I never heard anybody do that. And that started bothering me. It bothered me. It's like, I've never heard anybody call on the Lord openly, out loud, but he was just doing it genuinely. He wasn't just, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, you know, I don't know. It wasn't strange. It was like he was enjoying something. But you know what I did? That night, it bothered me so much, I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, why did that bother me? And I looked in the Bible about calling on the Lord, and it was everywhere. I didn't know what to do. I said, and then the Lord bothered me, or he touched me. He said, the reason you're bothered is because he's enjoying the Lord, and you're not. I was just in myself, and he was just in the enjoyment of the Lord. So from that moment, I had a turn to appreciate, you know, something of the Lord in this brother.
Amen.
He had something I needed.
Amen.
Anyway, it changed the rest of my life. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that. Amen. Yeah, let your light shine. I have a song for this. You know, let's see. It has to do with fruit bearing.
Amen.
Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. It goes like this. Because we're barren, we don't have any fruit, we need to go to the Lord and tell him. And it goes like this. Go to the Lord and tell him, oh, Lord, have mercy on me. Go to the Lord and confess our fruitlessness to him. We'll shine, heavenly radiation. Shining attracts the people and makes us fruit-bearing ones. That was just a little piece of ministry. We put it to a song one day. Shall we sing it one more time? Kind of got it? Some of you know it, right? Yeah, this was done at UCLA when I was there at the beginning with some students. They wrote this. Okay, here we go again. Go to the Lord and tell him, oh, Lord, have mercy on me. Go to the Lord and tell him our fruitlessness to him. Then what happens? He'll shine. We'll shine. Heavenly radiation. Shining attracts the people and makes us fruit-bearing ones. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.